in season and out of season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom and Anthony today, proclaiming the word of God. I love what we're going to be preaching today. It's one of my Hallelujah. The ram's horn announcing the word of God. I'm looking at the 8th chapter of Acts, verse 26. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." The angel asked Philip to change his direction. Whenever the Lord changes our direction, good things happen. When he asks us to change our direction, we find most glory. Glory. The glory of God. We find the mercy of God. We find the forgiveness of God. He asked him to change his direction. And so Philip did. And it says, "This is a wilderness road." Now, if he wanted to think about it, he'd say, well, there's nothing down there. It's a wilderness road. But the angel knew that there was something down there for Philip. Let's continue. So he got up and went, just like Abraham. He got up and went. Now, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace Queen of Ethiopians. He was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. He's Jewish. And he was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" He replied, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get into the chariot and sit down beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep that was led to the slaughter, like a lamb silent before his shearers, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." That's all about the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, which Jewish people don't read. It's Passover tonight. Our Passover is Jesus crucified and raised from the dead. We want to pray for people that are celebrating Passover because they are our brothers and sisters in the Lord. People say, well, they're not Christian. They're not my brother. They're my brother and sister in the Lord. And we pray for them that they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, just like we pray for Catholics to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
They're in covenant with God. This life is about one thing: coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. All Jewish people, they're going to encounter Jesus Christ one day. I believe Jesus is going to come to them when they die, and they're going to have the option to choose Jesus as a Messiah or not. So, Lord, we pray for Israel today. We pray for Israel, Lord. Just keep that land safe. Let that land be blessed. And for everyone celebrating Passover, bless them abundantly.
The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak and started with the scripture. He proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. It was Jesus who was the sheep that was led to the slaughter. It was Jesus who was like a lamb before its shearers. It is Jesus who did not open his mouth. It is Jesus that in his humiliation justice was denied him. It's all about Jesus. And you know what? The eunuch heard the word of God and believed it. We need people to tell us what the word of God means. This is the whole experience of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53. I tell you, the Jewish people will not read this because it just describes the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Maybe you are like the eunuch. You didn't understand what he was reading. So we're telling you, it was Jesus who was the lamb led to the slaughterhouse. It is Jesus who calls us to believe in him and in the Father.
And it's Jesus who came to release the kingdom of God upon you, to bring down heaven, to forgive us of our sins. And when we release our testimony, we release the word of God. When we speak what Jesus has done for us in our lives, we're like the eunuch. Jesus becomes real to people. We got to explain the Bible, but more than that, explain how Jesus has affected us, how Jesus has touched us, how Jesus has given us life where there was no life, what Jesus wants to do to the people he come across, that Jesus came to bring down the kingdom of heaven. And in the kingdom of heaven, there is all good things. You know, the Jewish people, the old covenant was good, but Jesus came to bring heaven to earth. He came to bring down the kingdom. Never before did heaven come to earth. But with Jesus and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he deposited every grace that was in heaven, the whole kingdom of God in heaven, and he just brought it down to you, to me, to earth. And now we are heaven's representatives. We are heaven's enforcers. We are become supernatural by the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing can be better.
Then the eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this, about himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak and started with the scripture. He proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. Do you know the good news? The good news is that Jesus went to the cross for you and bled to take away your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead. He was like the lamb led to the slaughterhouse. He did not open his mouth. It is Jesus he was talking about. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized the eunuch. When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more. I wonder how that happened. He snatched him away, and he's going to find himself in another place, in Azotus. This is God working in the scriptures. He snatched him away. I wonder what kind of work the Lord had for Philip in Azotus. I don't know. It doesn't tell us. But it does say that he snatched him away to the place called Azotus.
Before Philip got snatched up, they were reading in Isaiah about Jesus, the sheep led to the slaughter. In his humiliation, justice was denied for him. You know, Jesus, he came to give us an abundant life. But part of walking in freedom is not fearing suffering for the Lord Jesus. Not fearing, you know, so often we're just, even me too, We're so afraid to suffer for the Lord. We're so afraid to do the Lord's will for our life because it might be painful or it might hurt or it might not be exactly what we want for that second. But God's divine will is perfect. Everything God leads us through is perfect. It's cleansing our souls. And what's interesting is when we're afraid to suffer, we suffer our whole lives. But when we give our life to Jesus and we say, not my will, your will be done, and we let Jesus take us through anything he wants and we ride on the coattails of his will, we say, I'll endure a little suffering for you right now, Jesus, then there really is no suffering. We make our own crosses because our will crosses the will of God. Our will crosses the will of God. The will of God is leading us through a situation or wanting us to do something for the Lord Jesus, and we are fighting it, so we're making our own cross. But if we're just calm and we're like, all right, Lord, it's not my will, but your will be done. Whatever you have for me, I'm doing it with you. I'm going through it with you. Then there's an ease on our life. We're not double-minded. We're just living the life of Jesus. He's living his life through us. We all want to be humble, but we're so afraid of humiliation. And that goes for me too. But Jesus was made obedient through what he suffered. Jesus became humbled through humiliation. It said he was denied justice. So often we want to be proven right. We want our due. When Jesus is saying, no, sacrifice yourself for me. Because when you die to yourself and you live for me, then freedom comes upon your life. Then holiness comes upon your life. What is holiness? Holiness is ownership. Does God own your life? Does God own your will? Does God own everything about you? You know, I love it when after they baptize them, the Spirit snatched them up and he sent him to another place. This is like after Jesus was baptized, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness, took him to another place. When we receive the Holy Spirit is always going to move us from the place where we were to the place where he wants to take us. He wants to move us from the old thing until the new thing. The Spirit is like the wind. It blows upon our life. We don't know where the Spirit comes or where it's going to take us. But as the Spirit blows upon us, we can end up anywhere, but it will be okay because we'll have the Holy Spirit within us.
When they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. What do you think the eunuch went to do? Go back to Ethiopia and be the evangelist, telling them about Jesus. You see, he didn't have to take a course. He received the Holy Spirit by the power of God. He didn't have to take a course. Now, I am not against courses. I believe in the baptism of the Spirit has a course. But you know what? I remember going to Petersham, and I remember one lady saying, these people are hungry. They need the baptism of the Spirit now. And you know what? We did the rest of the talks later, but they were baptized that night because they were hungry and they were thirsty. And that's what happened in Petersham. Now, Petersham is a Mecca for religious people. I believe we, in the name of Jesus, caused that to happen because the whole town were converted through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many years ago, I believe that God has used us to open Petersham to the Holy Spirit. We have a monastery there. We have retreat and culture there. We have things happening in a little church. And that all started because that lady said, don't wait. She, he, they need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit now because they're hungry. And that's what happened. We prayed with them and they received the gift of tongues and prophecy by the Holy Spirit.
Two monasteries, Father. Two now. You know, it's funny, 10 steps to the abundant life with Jesus. The Holy Spirit, he leads us into all truth. And we need wisdom, we need knowledge because Jesus says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He doesn't say prayer sets you free. He doesn't say fasting sets you free. He says knowing the truth sets you free. The revelation where Jesus speaks to your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. Prayer and fasting just disposes you to receive the truths and revelation of God. Without prayer, we're not in communication with heaven. If we don't pray, we're cut off from heaven. If we don't pray, we're cut off from hearing God. If we don't fast, then we don't take down our flesh. And we can't hear the word of God because there's a barrier, our flesh, between us and the Holy Spirit. But the truth and the revelation of God sets us free. The Holy Spirit leads you into all truth. So what is it about to receive truth? It's about surrender. It's about surrendering to God and being open. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift. And we are ready to receive that gift when we are ready to surrender our life to Jesus. You see, everything in the kingdom of God is a free gift. And all we are called to do is to dispose ourselves through prayer, through fasting, through surrender, to be able to receive the gift. When Jesus came to release the kingdom, he said, "It is finished. Now take my healing, take my miracles, take my power, take my dominion, take my authority. Take back what Adam has lost. Take the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Take life and life abundantly." But so Jesus did his part. What is our part? Our part is to dispose ourselves with the ability to be able to receive what God wants to do. Receive the free gift of salvation. Receive life and life abundantly that Jesus wants to release upon you. And it's dying to what we want and living to what Jesus wants. Because before you were created, Jesus wrote a destiny for you. He wrote a plan and a purpose for your life, which is so far greater than anything you can ask, think, or imagine. You know, when I see the homeless, and when I see people addicted to drugs, and even in my life, what I see is I see someone stole their destiny. Their destiny has been stolen. Jesus did not give them this destiny. Jesus gave them a destiny of life and a life abundantly. And when you go and you pray for the people and you receive it, you tell them when you receive Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit and you can walk into your destiny. You can receive the reason why you were created. I give them money once in a while, but we want to give them the Holy Spirit. It's sad because Jesus doesn't want to change you. He wants to make you fully alive. Well, he does want to change us because we get to come to Jesus how we are. We don't get to stay how we are because he fixes us up and he makes us fully alive as we were created to be. So when you go out and you see people not living in the fullness of God, you tell them, you say, "This is not the destiny that God put you on the earth to live. Jesus has a far greater plan or purpose for your life. But we got to surrender to him now. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the kingdom of heaven. Receive the kingdom of God. Is it at hand? Jesus already paid the price for you. And all you need to do is say yes."
Chapter 9. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Why was he so hateful? Because the scripture says, "Cursed is the man who dies upon a tree." And the Christians were saying, Jesus became a curse so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. But Paul sees him as a curse. How could he be the Messiah? And so he goes and he puts people in jail and he even wants to kill people. But thank God for Stephen, who forgave Saul. Thank God for Stephen, who said, "Do not hold this sin against them." And you know what? Saul becomes Paul. And the word of God says, "Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who believed in the way, men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. They were called away because Jesus is the way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So we continue. Now, as he was going along, approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven shined around him. What light? That's the Shekinah glory. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." So to persecute the way of the way is to persecute Jesus. He was persecuting Jesus, and he receives a revelation. The light of God surrounds him. Jesus says, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" So he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and through his eyes, though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days, Saul was without sight and neither ate nor drank. The Lord Jesus was after him. I believe the Lord Jesus is after some people. You've been running away. And it's time to say no more running. It's time to say, "Here I am, Lord. I come to do your will." It's time to say, "Fiat, here I am, Lord. I come to do your will." I remember the man who was being asked wherever he went, "Do you know Jesus?" So he decided to go to one of the islands, and he went to the bar to have a drink. And the man who was the bartender said, "Do you know Jesus?" At that moment, he gave up. He said, "I give my life to you. Even the bartender asks me, do I know Jesus?" When God has your name written in his hands, he'll do anything to get you. It's time for us to surrender. It's time for us to give our lives to him. It's time for us to say, "Lord Jesus, I want to follow you, and I want to go where you want me to go." In Jesus' name, amen.
Because when you go where Jesus wants you to go, you become what Jesus created you to become. You do what God created you to do. And then your life has fulfillment. People in this world who try to be happy are the least happy people. The only people who are truly happy are the people who are living for God all the way. Because that's what we were created to do. We were only created to worship God. And if we don't worship Jesus, we're going to worship everything else. But everything else is fading away. Everything else is a counterfeit. Everything else is a lie. Everything else can bring momentary pleasure. We want to live with our deathbed in mind. Because one day we're all going to be promoted and passed on to heaven. But on the day of our deathbed, we're not going to be worried about how many good meals we had, how nice of a car we had, what possessions we had. The things we're going to wish we had more of was the things of God. I wish I prayed more. I wish I knew Jesus better. I wish I let Jesus use me to impact the world more. I wish I brought more people into the kingdom. I wish I was holier for my family. I wish I was closer to my family so I could bring them to Jesus Christ. But you know what? Eternity can start today. We are so minded in this realm of time. But God says, don't focus on things happening in time. Look to eternal truth. Look to eternal goods, for I know the plans I have for you. Before you can do great things for me, you need to learn to be with me. And I just created you to be with me, to love me, so I can feel you. I'm not judging you. I'm not condemning you. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting to restore you to the fullness of why I created you. I'm waiting to release destiny into you. I'm waiting to put my power into you. But do not fight me. We spend our whole lives fighting ourselves. We're fighting ourselves all day long, and we don't even realize we're doing it. Where Jesus says, make it easy on yourself. Trust me, and I will do everything for you. Trust is the vessel which all graces are given. If we don't trust in God, then we can't receive grace. If we don't give our will to Jesus, then we live in our will. The human will comes with pain, depression, anxiety, fear, worry. But God's divine will comes with everything good. So say, Lord Jesus, today I fuse myself into your divine will. Jesus, today I surrender my will and I receive your divine will. Because in my will there is brokenness, but in your will, God, there is all goodness.
The Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight, Straight Street. And at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. God's talking to Ananias this time. At this moment, he is praying, and he has seen a vision, a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who invoke your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen. Amen. To bring my name before the Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. I myself will show him how much he will have to suffer. And so we see God promises us suffer through persecution.
God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.